Welcome back to another episode of Winning Through Culture. I am Tim Flanagan here with Rebecca Miller and Anna Rushkova. Before we get started, why don't we do a little introductions? Rebecca, I'll start with you and let you give a little bit of background on your role in the organization and who you are.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim. My name is Rebecca Miller. I'm the digital marketing coordinator here at the Pelora Group. Most of my work consists of social media strategy, communication, content creation, as well as working on our website and helping out with the podcast here.
Awesome. You do a great job on all of that. And again, Anna, why don't you do a little introduction of your background and who you are in our organization?
My name is Anna Rushkova. I am the marketing coordinator here at the Pelora Group and have been since, I think, almost a year and a half ago. It's been a great time here. I serve both the firm and our advisor population, really where coordination is needed. So,
well, that's a great place to start. So thank you both for your introductions. Why don't we go ahead and get started? It's great to be with both of you today. Thanks for joining me in this series. We are discussing the integration of, or I should say, the intersection of brand and culture. This is the third part in our series on that topic. Today, we're going to talk with Rebecca and Anna about a few things. Most notably, we're going to start with how to integrate the communication of a rebrand in alignment with the culture of the organization that you're running internally. And so we'll start kind of with your internal audience, and Anna is going to help us with that today. And then we're going to speak to the external audience. How do you communicate what you're doing relative to your brand, if it's a rebrand, a new brand, and that intersection of culture and brand to your outside constituents? And Rebecca, again, is going to help us with that. So it's great to be with both of you today. All right, Anna, we're going to start with you. So when you think about the work that you did really in engaging the internal audience of an organization around a rebrand that, again, was aligned with a story around a culture, how did you get people to engage in that process?
So I actually onboarded that same week that I was told that we were going to be going through a rebrand.
Welcome.
So that was a very fun week for me, but I learned a lot from that point on, even up until now, still learning every day. And one of the things that I learned, this was the first rebrand that I was ever a part of. And really, it started out very, very small and kind of the way that I look at it, I'm a very like visual person, as I see it as like one small circle kind of growing into a little bit of a bigger circle and bigger and bigger. So whenever we think of like rebranding and then kind of launching it, it really starts super small. And it really starts with engaging your internal audience or, you know, the people that you work with, the actual culture of who makes up that company. And it's super important because you first have to engage them before everyone else can be engaged, because it's important for them to be on board before everyone else can be on board. So one of the things that we did was we launched a program called the Brand Ambassador Program. It was about 15 to 20 people. And we just explained to them what was going to be going on, that we were going to be rebranding. We really wanted them to be a big part of it and to get their feedback on everything. So at the same time that we were going through the rebrand, we were having all of these different meetings deciding on logos and colors and fonts and answering all these different types of questions that would lead us to finally who we are now. It really started with those first 15 to 20 people. They voted on those things and they said, you know, with the culture, with however long I've been here, there was a difference between I like how this looks and this fits right for who we are. And that's why it was so important to start with them, because they know who we are, you know, as a company. And so the way that we brought them in was we had, I think, bi-weekly meetings, and we kind of did like a quick recap version of the meetings that we were having for the rebrand and being like, these are the things that we've discussed. What do you guys think? What's your feedback? Sometimes even voting on different polls, like, do you prefer this over this or do you prefer that over that? And we would kind of take those results with the results that we were having the meetings during that time, you know, with the people that we were rebranding with, and kind of compare and contrast and being like, okay, does this fit with our culture? Or are these things that we just like? So that was a big part of it, I would say, the brand ambassador program.
In doing that work, Anna, with the brand ambassadors, what did you see when it came time to tell the bigger story of the rebrand? What did you see them being capable of helping you do?
Yeah, so I can't remember exactly the specifics of it, but it came like really into play when we would have the meetings with our senior leadership team and Circa, the people that, you know, were helping us with the rebrand. And we all sat down for, you know, a few hours and we discussed some things and we decided on different aspects of what the new brand should be. And then we kind of presented that to the brand ambassador program. We said, okay, this is kind of what we were presented. What do you guys think? What's your feedback? And sometimes they would vote completely differently than what our senior leadership team was kind of deciding on. And so the next time that we all met, we would take that into consideration. A lot of the times we'd be like, oh, you know what? I think that they're right. They really know the culture because they are the culture. And we sometimes had to completely flip the switch and say, no, this is what's right. So that played a big part.
Yeah, and I definitely think in watching you go through that process, that helped the brand ambassadors really truly feel some ownership in what was going on in the story and saw themselves in the story. So I think you and that brand ambassador group did a fantastic job in that regard. So now you've got a group of brand ambassadors enrolled. They've had a bit of a preview of what's going on. It's time for the broader internal audience to be enrolled in this. So what were some of the things you and your team did next, Anna, to get that going?
Yeah, so the next step was the actual rebrand part. You know, after we've decided this is going to be our new name, this is going to be our new logo, this is going to be our new brand. And, you know, once all of everyone was kind of on board, everyone that knew of it, the next step was to get everyone else on board with it. So that's kind of where that small circle becomes a little bit bigger that I was talking about earlier. And that next step was everyone else internally. So you're not externally pushing everything out yet and screaming to the world, this is who we are now. But you first, again, want to bring everyone internally on board without giving them this big shock. One thing that we did, I remember, was it was during one of our summer firm meetings. It's, you know, a big meeting that we have for a couple of hours, a lot of informational things going on. And one of those things was that we presented the brand and we presented to everyone internally, so no one externally yet. And obviously people had lots of questions, people had lots of thoughts. And the way that we knew that that was going to come, which is very natural, and that's something that we wanted to come and something that we wanted to tackle on. And after that meeting, we actually had all of our brand ambassadors wear their pins that said, you know, I'm a brand ambassador, please come ask me a question. And they knew how to answer them because they already know the brand. They've already decided they were there for all of the steps. And that was one day. So we kind of split it into half. We had that day to answer any questions, get any kind of feedback. We also, you know, met with the brand ambassadors. We asked, what were the questions? Were you able to answer them? What were the thoughts? Was it positive? Was it negative? Was it in between? And then our second day of it was actually, once everyone was on board, actually getting them on board and getting their linked up set in, getting their email signature set up, and really any other questions that were not answered or any thoughts that haven't been heard, hearing out those thoughts, having those conversations, answering those questions, that was really the bigger next step.
Well, and Anna, if I can jump in too, I remember I was a part of the brand ambassador program and seeing the summer firm meeting come together. Tim, you and Chelsea really did a great job sharing the overall story and vision, which I think was so important for the buy-in of everybody who was there. Because not only were we being like, oh, this is our new brand, this is who we are now, it's let's review who we have been as an organization and how we got here and the why for why we rebrand. And making it a very open conversation and having some exciting pieces to share around it, from a launch webpage that really showed like our values have not changed. We are still who we are as a company, as a culture. And then building excitement around it with the video we did with Spiracle, with having great conversations and doing things like you said with the brand ambassador program. Just making sure we have boots on the ground, both from leadership and from the people we work with every day.
Well, I'll ask both of you, because again, we did follow a process and we talked in previous episodes in this series about how to align your brand with really the story of who you are and what you represent. And then how do you bring that forth as a part of a representation of a culture? And the process of brand ambassador and then enrolling in a larger organization definitely did that. I'm curious from both of your perspectives, and you mentioned it, Rebecca, there was a story to all this. I mean, how important was that story versus just colors and logos and website?
So the story has to connect with the culture. It has to connect with the organization, like who we are, versus things that, you know, just may look pretty or things that, you know, we may like. It's how do they align with who we are and how do we tell that story through those logos and through those colors and those fonts? How does that represent us so that whenever someone sees that new brand and sees the logos and sees the colors, they're able to, you know, ask questions about who we are and we're able to answer those questions. And it kind of also, you know, piques their interest.
Yeah, I think the story not only shares who we are, but it also reminds us and keeps us on a path of who we continue to want to be moving forward. So whether we're creating printed material or using it in recruiting or building a website, our story really helps us stay pointed north and navigated on the right path for us and who not only we are, but who we want to continue to be.
Yeah, and that's, I think, an important part of the distinction of how enrolled people were. It was around the story, not just the actual, I'll say, collateral material, including the name. So, Rebecca, I'm going to turn now. So this team has come together, brand ambassadors, the organization has been enrolled. People understand the why and the story and get it and are starting to engage with that. How did you then in your role, Rebecca, begin to tell that story externally?
So we took a bit of a two-part approach. Kind of like you said, with the story, we focused on who we are and then who we were trying to connect with. So we dug deeper into the brand story, into this wonderful packet that Circa put together for us that not only gave us tangible words to define who we are, but I really took some time to really like dive into and sit with Chelsea, our marketing director, to talk about who are we trying to be and who are we currently? And then we also sat down and broke into our target markets. Who are we trying to reach? So that way we can make sure we're communicating effectively and showing up where our audience is. Because you can show up anywhere on the internet, but is that where your audience is? Is that who you're trying to connect with?
Well, I know, Rebecca, social media is a big part of that. It's part of your responsibility. And the number of platforms seems to grow daily. And I know I'm a novice in most of them, but what platforms do you really need to have presence on? And how did you utilize those platforms for this telling of the story?
I think it's really better for brands to start with a smaller focus. Like you said, the number of social media platforms grows by the day. I was just seeing an announcement about with worries over TikTok being potentially banned. There's this new app that lots of people are potentially shifting over towards preemptively. So like you said, social media changes by the day. And there's a lot of pressure sometimes on business owners and on social media managers that we need to be on every platform, posting all the time and growing our following period. But that's not necessarily an effective or realistic strategy, especially for a smaller business or even a mid-sized business like our own. You aren't necessarily going to get the results you want to see just by, oh, we're going to do all of the social media platforms. So we started, based on our target markets, really looking at where do we want to show up because of who we're trying to reach. So for example, if you're trying to target Gen Z, people Anna and my age or younger, you're probably not going to reach them if you're posting on Facebook or Twitter as much. But if you're looking for somebody who's looking to pursue a career in financial services, LinkedIn is a great platform. Or just if you're a business that helps with professional development or is looking to really recruit heavily, LinkedIn might be a great platform for you. If you're a creative, Instagram might have some more elements to it that benefit your business better. And so we took a look and zoomed out and said, okay, based on the research on these platforms, who is there and who we're trying to reach? Where can we be most effective? And so for us as the Pelora Group, we're more focused on a site like LinkedIn versus Facebook or a Twitter even. And then you also have situations with social media where things are going a little bit awry or people aren't sure what to do. All that to say, I think for business owners and for leaders, one, you shouldn't feel the need to be everywhere all at once. Find the place where your audience is and be present and active there, not just in posting, but engaging with your audience. And secondly, don't expect instant growth right away. Going viral can be a great thing, but you're going to have a more engaged audience if you build over time. So have patience with yourself as you're building your social media. Have a little bit of grace while you're still challenging your social media managers. But always make sure you're focused on who are we trying to reach and communicate effectively who we are and build that community.
Good counsel. Very good counsel, Rebecca. Thank you. So the other element of this was telling the story through web presence. Websites have evolved over time as a place for people to get information. And certainly, as it relates to the context of this podcast, if people want to see the Pelora Group's website, it's thepeloragroup.com. And definitely check it out. We'll have it in the show notes. But why don't you talk a little bit, Rebecca, about the approach we took to using that type of platform to tell, again, the brand story in alignment with the culture?
Yeah. So we had two really key elements to our web design approach. The first was having a strategic approach that really helped effectively communicate our story and what we offered and how we provide value to financial advisors. The second piece was we wanted to stand out creatively, and we're looking for a partner to help us accomplish both of those things, strategically accomplish our goals, but also creatively communicate them in a way that doesn't look like a template online. Because while those templated sites or more organized sites can be very helpful when you're just starting out, for us, a templated site doesn't really match who we are as a company culture or who we want to be. And so creatively standing out was one of those ways we did that. So I took the time and researched into several options for partners in the Charlotte area, contacted them, let them know what we were trying to do, our goals, and our timeline. And we ended up with two kind of finalists that just depended on our approach and kind of what we hoped the final product would be. And we ended up going with Moonlight Creative Group, which is a small woman-owned agency here in Charlotte. Their CEO, Dawn, was great to have a conversation with, and we really enjoyed working with their team. And so as far as putting that website together, we worked internally to capture all the information we needed, which was actually really valuable to me because I got to have conversations with every single leader in our organization about the work that they do and what they're trying to accomplish with it and how that provides value to financial advisors. And personally, that gave me a new appreciation for our business, getting a deeper understanding of why we do what we do. All that to say, we worked with Moonlight Creative Group for several months to work through this website, which is actually a pretty fast timeline. Some websites can take up to, if not over, a year's worth of work. So we managed to get it done in about 6 months, a little bit over that. And I think really communicate our story, again, who we are as a brand, who we are continuing to strive to be, and most importantly, how we provide value to the financial advisors who might want to partner with us as an organization. I think overall, we're really happy with the final product and how it not only strategically and authentically communicates who we are, but also from a creative aspect, it's a really cool site. It was really fun to see it all come together in partnership with them.
And Rebecca, you and your team did a fantastic job with that. I'm curious, to your point earlier, there's lots of different vendors, if you will, for websites. What was the deciding factor or factors to go with Moonlight Creative?
I think our final factor was looking at the final product. Mm-hmm. The other partner we were looking at, their process seemed like it might be a little bit more streamlined and be a bit easier for our team to jump into. But I wanted our final product to really stand out. I wanted this website to not just fall into the crowd, but really stand on its own and communicate creatively as well. And so working with Moonlight, that final decision, it was really close. I'm not going to lie. I was agonizing over it probably for a whole week, if not longer, just going back and forth of like, this option could be a fantastic partner. And at the same time, I think we might get a better end product there. And it took several conversations within our team and with Chelsea and just lots of reflection. But ultimately, we went with Moonlight because we knew while it might be a little bit of a harder pull on our own team, long term, the final product would be fantastic and would stand out and effectively communicate. And so that's the path that we chose. It definitely was a little bit rocky at the start, but especially as we moved through the process, it was very exciting to see everything pull together and see how making the choice we did ended us up with a website that we're really proud of.
That's great. You and your team did a fantastic job. And I think it was a good choice because the site definitely reflects the culture of the organization and the brand story that we were trying to convey. So well done. So Anna, I'm coming back to you because you had some work to do as well on, for lack of a better word, the brand collateral, if you will. Why don't you talk a little bit about how you and your team made a decision to go look for some vendors to support us in the collateral products that we produced to share the brand story?
So a few things about that. I mean, a little bit on what Rebecca said with even partnering with Moonlight. Whenever you find the right partner or the right vendor, it really has to be the right partner and the right vendor. So what Rebecca did, I kind of also did. You know, there was a lot of research whenever it came to different products and different manufacturers and all those things. And landing on the right one wasn't necessarily landing on just one. I was actually landing on a couple. So one thing that I would also say is that if there is an opportunity, like with website, there may not be as much of an opportunity, but with, you know, merchandise and apparel and some of those more manufactured things, if there is an opportunity for you to work with not just one vendor, but a few to get the best results for what it is you're looking for, definitely don't be afraid to venture out. Like I remember when I first hopped on board, there were already a couple of vendors that, you know, we already had connections with and the products that we were getting were super great, but we also were rebranding. And so maybe some of the things that we were used to, although they were great, maybe it was also time for a change. So we first did go with that vendor for a couple of things. The relationship was great and the products, they were also great. There were a couple of nicks here and there. And I noticed them, you know, I kind of wrote them down. I'm like, okay, so these are the maybe negatives. How can we turn them into positives? And so that's kind of when I started researching different vendors. And I landed on a different one. And there was actually a new product that we wanted to do with that external or that internal launch that we did, which was t-shirts. We wanted to make t-shirts, but we really wanted to invest in them. And we wanted to be really a great product, very good quality to get everyone excited and on board. And that's, you know, whenever the research really came in. And I met with them a couple of times, you know, I asked all the great questions. I asked all the negatives that maybe we've experienced in the past and how we can redo that, or maybe what the outcome would be if that scenario did happen again with this different vendor. Answered all of our questions, like to the best of their ability. They seemed great. So we went ahead with them and the product was like exceptional. I mean, not only did we get the best thing for the best price, but also whenever in the past, whenever negative experiences happened, they were like very willing to work with us. Like I remember with the t-shirts, there were a couple of things that kind of like misaligned. And they were like, hey guys, like just totally like take these for free. We're going to redo it. We're going to make it right. And that's kind of how we landed on like, yeah, this is the right vendor for us. And so we weren't stuck in that mindset of like, this is the vendor that we've always had. We already have a great relationship with them. We can't break it. We can't venture outside, but kind of took on like, yes, they are a great vendor. And, you know, we do have a great relationship with them and we don't want to break it. That doesn't necessarily mean we can't also venture out and maybe partner with someone else. And that's kind of like how it went with other vendors. We have different photography vendors. We have different videography vendors, merchandise and apparel vendors. And that's kind of the approach that we always take is research, see what the positives and negatives are. Have your experience with them. And if you do need to kind of venture out and partner with maybe not just one, but maybe more, then maybe that is what you need to do for your brand.
Yeah, Anna, I think one of the things too is like when it comes to collateral, it's important you've done a great job showing like there's a certain amount that we can do in-house, but when it comes to needing expertise outside of our areas of knowledge, it's really important to lean on those external partners. And like you said, we've had a lot of great relationships with different collateral vendors. And I think it's important for business owners to like be willing to explore relationships. And especially when you're dealing with a new brand, it does provide an opportunity to build new partnerships and build new relationships in addition to the ones you already have.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I know it was hard to do this episode without really tying it back to the Plura Group. We did our best to use that contextually. But, you know, when I think about a recap through this series, a business that's branding or rebranding and trying to really tell their story in alignment with the culture of who they are, or to what we talked about aspirationally, who they want to become at the same time. There's the internal work, which is really enrolling the right people, as Anna said, the right people into that process, and then really growing that circle of influence there across the entire organization, and really helping people tie the story back to the core values of the firm and who they are. And again, having all people see themselves in that picture. And then really the communication strategy around that and the launch and the ongoing telling of that story is a huge component from a success perspective internally. And then Rebecca, you did a nice job of articulating again the reality that you do have to put that out into the world, both through social media channels today, because that's a lot of how the world communicates, through a website that is engaging, unique, stands out, and again, tells the story. So I commend both of you for the work you did in the rebrand of the Plura Group. You guys made a huge impact. And it's great because the brand, as I told people when we rolled it out, was capturing the heritage of who we are and who we have been in the past, but was intended to be reflective of who we're becoming in the future and speaking to future generations of folks that support our advisors and advisors and their clients. So I think we did a good job around that.
Yeah. And I would just add too, for any leaders or business owners who are either just starting the process or in the middle of wherever you are in a branding process, whether you've got an established brand or you're building a new one, it can be very overwhelming to jump into this pond. But I think Anna and I would both say it's important to take it step by step, trust in the team that you've built and the culture that you've built, that it will carry you through and you have people you can rely on to tell the story, and just take it one step at a time. That's all you can do. But I think we've experienced a lot of great results. And I'm excited to continue to see where the Plura Group continues to grow.
Well, thank you again, both of you. Anna and Rebecca, you guys are a big part of why we did this. And you drove the process to a very successful outcome. And I'm very proud of you. And thank you very much for your time today. It's been great to be together on another episode of Winning Through Culture. This closes out our series on branding, rebranding, in alignment with telling the story of the culture of the organization you're leading or your business. And we trust that you found it both impactful and relevant, and look forward to being with you on a future episode of Winning Through Culture.